In part one of our interview with Pocahontas County Extension Agent Greg Hammonds, we talked about several invasive species affecting our pastures, gardens, and trees, including the poison hemlock, wireworms, and the emerald ash borer. At the end of part one, Hammond touched upon the need for soil testing. In this part of the interview, we'll pick up right there. Greg, what's the most common soil problem that we find in this area?
The most common problem we see is low pH, so lack of lime. Folks will typically put on nutrients every year in the form of some type of fertilizer or compost or something like that. I've checked ground before that the nutrient levels were perfectly fine. pH would be high fours, low fives, which our range should be between 6 and 7 for most of our crops. And lime's a pretty cheap fix typically, but it seems like it's always the first thing I look at when I get a soil test analysis results back is the pH level, and it's usually low. And some people are surprised that you don't need any fertilizer for 2 years, but you need this lime right now. Unfortunately, it takes a little while to correct that pH, so it takes a little while to raise that up. Those nutrients become available to those plants, and then they'll take off better. I always get a lot of questions about invasive species, how to control them. Autumn olive, Tartarian honeysuckle, multiflora rose is another one, especially from some of our folks grazing livestock, trying to control those. Japanese barberries became another one in the last 5 or 6 years that's getting really widespread. It amazes me, really, the number of barberry that you see around as ornamental plants still in landscapes. They've actually declared that as an invasive species that they're not going to let some of these home improvement stores sell anymore. They were selling those for years, and it's taken over some pastures. The same with Tartarian honeysuckle, autumn olive, multiflora rose.
Greg, what is one of the more interesting projects you have undertaken?
Probably one of the most interesting things that I've done the last couple of years has been our Beekeepers Association. They formed the last couple of years. We've probably had as many as 40 people come to the meetings, but we've got about 20 members that are there just about every month at our beekeepers meetings. I'm by no means a bee expert, but I've tried to help the group form, and they do just informational and educational meetings, get together and talk about their bees.
Greg, I hear beekeepers are having problems with mites killing their bees.
The varroa mite is a big issue for them. There's been a bunch of different treatment methods tried for those. Most of these folks that are experienced, as some of our beekeepers are, have got a pretty good handle on how to treat those. When to treat form is pretty key too. There are some evolving techniques. People are trying to control them better to get those bees through the winter. Unfortunately, a lot of these beekeepers, it can be pretty frustrating because they're losing some of them 40, 50, 60% of their bees every winter. And they're a very expensive investment by the time you buy hives and packages of bees and introduce them and that kind of thing and then lose them in the winter. The recommendations that I've heard are most of those hives need quite a bit of honey, sometimes up to 80 pounds of honey to make it through the winter. So if they don't have sufficient honey stores to feed on as they go into the winter, a lot of them can basically starve to death.
What's your typical day like?
I spend quite a few days out of the office just visiting farms and homeowners that just have questions about plants, insects, diseases. And it takes a site visit to go out and see what's going on. We have specialists in about every field you could think of, from agronomy, pesticides, horticulture, anything you can think of available to us at the university. So if it's not something that I can figure out what it is, or I've got contacts that I can get a hold of, find out the problem and get an answer.
Do you work with 4-H?
Yep, Lucy Masesso is our 4-H agent. She's here next door. We actually just had camp a couple weeks ago. I teach shooting sports at camp, so we actually have an archery course, a shotgun course, muzzleloader, and air rifle. So I teach a couple of those, and then there's some other certified instructors that teach the other two. Our shooting sports in 4-H as a whole is growing pretty rapidly statewide. They actually have state tournaments now for shotgun, archery, air rifle, air pistol, and muzzleloader. And they send kids to nationals from the state every year.
Stay tuned for part three of this interview, where Greg talks to us about the fast-growing agricultural industry of growing very low THC content hemp in our area. That hemp will be used to make various products. Tim Walker, Allegheny Mountain Radio News.